Topics you care about by people you trust. This is The Clear Perspective, your healthcare cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy podcast. And now for the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Clear Perspective podcast today. I'm here with Steve Akers, the CISO for Clearwater Security, and also head of our Security Operations Center. Hey, we're here to talk about something that has, you know, hit the news, and there has been both federal authorities and HHS warnings to healthcare organizations about the third-party pharmacy services firm that has been compromised. And the breach has been allegedly due to exploiting a remote access product they used, which is ConnectWise Screen Connect. And while it's at the federal warning level, hey, other vulnerabilities with remote management solutions are should also be of concern going forward. So today we're going to chat with Steve. Some things that came up when I was reading through this, I had some questions about it, and I wanted to ask Steve these questions. So here we go. In reading this warning, there's a little bit of background we have to kind of catch up with. So Screen Connect is a solution that allows for remote management of other systems. In this case, the solution seemed to be compromised, allowing for the attacker to initiate access and then use similar tactics to expand their footprint and download other tools. We've heard that many, many times. They make these connections to other organizations is really a big responsibility. In this case, the revolving door for malice and the attackers to hit not only one, but hundreds of organizations. So before going too far, this warning states that the unknown threat actor abused a locally hosted instance of this tool, Screen Connect, to access the initial victim organization. And then on November 14th, the vendor of this solution confirmed that the threat actor was on an unmanaged on-premise instance that hadn't been updated since 2019, going against all recommended best practice of the vendor and probably everybody else in the industry. Yep. So the question is, as a third-party vendor utilizing this kind of platform as part of their business, what went wrong? And what would you have in place to remediate this type of compromise from your background?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. And, look forward to any feedback that anybody might have after this. But, I can't speak to the specifics of the deployment, right? Because we only go by what the details are that was provided to you. But I think it's very logical that the on-premise version of Screen Connect was accessible via the internet, right? It's, so for that particular organization that had that breach, what does it really boil down to? It really boils down to vulnerability management and patching. This has been around for 3 years. This was not a new exploit. This was not zero day. It's been around for a long time. And when you have that something that provides that level of functionality, right, remote management tools and endpoint management kind of technologies sitting on the internet for that long, certainly seems to be a gap, right, in the overall vulnerability management and patch management kind of programs. As for those that were impacted, or those downstream, the organization actually got breached, their customers, some of which are our customers, it falls into how are those third parties being managed? If I was a customer that used, in this case, this this pharmacy service provider, what am I doing to understand how they're managing their vulnerabilities? Are we asking third parties to show a clean bill of health, so to speak, on their perimeter? If not, then it's probably a gap in how I'm managing my vendors and third parties, which then falls under the vulnerability risk management. So you've got the organization was breached having poor vulnerability management and patch management processes, particularly on internet-facing hosts. And then those other third parties that were downstream and then also got impacted, really about them is that were they doing proper vendor management for those organizations? And it sounds like there were some gaps all the way around there.
Yeah, absolutely. As a healthcare organization, you just can't stop using these third-party vendors. They're in your catalog. They're key to your business. So, you talked about some more robust verification of this, but can you get into more specifics of if you were looking at this as a healthcare organization and this is a third-party vendor compromise that that you know you now have to take action to, what specific actions, because these are not initiating in your organization, but what specific actions would you start looking for to make sure you can't stop the service, to make sure the service is not going to negatively impact your organization from like an operational level?
Yeah. It's a great question. And I'll speak both kind of in specifics around Screen Connect, particularly, but the concepts are going to be general, you know, or they're going to be applicable to other scenarios. The first thing you need to validate with any of these kinds of issues is do a thorough assessment of your current version or instance of a particular piece of software. You know, in this particular case, it was an on-premise version. So we've had customers that came back to us and said, hey guys, I'm using the cloud version of this. Does this impact me? Even though they had the agent, which is what we were reporting on to them. And so it's like, no, the cloud's version was not impacted. So the first thing is do an immediate assessment, understand what am I using? What are my versions? What is the platform? So once you've got that, right, you want to validate, why is it here? Am I using it Screen Connect? We had a couple of clients of ours that they had like one system that had it on it, and it was for something that they trialed right at some point. So it was there, it was still present, but they weren't using it actively. And so it's like, do software inventories, make sure you understand what's being out there and why it's specifically being used. If it has a business purpose, then you got to kind of go on the next steps. If you weren't using one of these technologies, we read articles or points about Screen Connect in particular, is that the bad actors were then actually trying to encourage people to implement or deploy Screen Connect, or they were trying to roll it out to other endpoints. And so what we've suggested with customers, like if you don't use this technology and you're not, here's the hash values, here's the specifics about these EXEs, et cetera. You want to stop these from ever being deployed in your environment. Just do it so that way you can't be taken advantage of, right, as part of the overall implementation. And you can do that through a group policy or EDR solutions, et cetera. And, but if you are using it,
I think it's interesting because a lot of people think like, oh, it's going to be a malicious hash they have to watch out for. But these are authorized commercial products that are the worst kind. And so they're coming under the radar. Like
that's right.
You know, and it really is up to the organization to understand what tools is in their portfolio. And even though it's a valid tool, commercial, it's got the right signature from that vendor, it's still being implemented outside of your policy. And so I think that's a big thing that a lot of organizations are just not prepared to watch at that level.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, and then, you know, you get into, you know, people that are using the technology, what are they going to do, right? We suggest obviously upgrade to the latest instances and versions immediately. So you try to stem that, especially since this has been resolved since 2019. Hey, maybe you want to move to the hosted version if for some reason your own internal vulnerability and patch manager programs are just not keeping up. Maybe it's time to move something where you kind of remove that away. And more importantly, and you kind of talked about this, is that, so what do we do if we're seeing somebody use a legitimate tool that most technologies, EDRs included, right, would say, oh, this is legit, this is valid, it's passing the appropriate hash value, so I don't understand what the problem is. So you really start looking at other kinds of indicators of compromise, what IPs are involved, and are there weird destinations, and some of those other kinds of things that are happening out there. They're uploading certain kinds of files as part of the execution that may be of interest, you know, other kinds of payloads, which certainly a lot of EDR technology. But one of the things that we've been doing with customers is communicating to them as part of being a SOC operations is that, hey, we're now turning the paranoia dial up on this particular executable, right? And what we mean by that is we're now watching to see, is it just behaving a little differently? Things that maybe we're seeing it do are not what we normally see it do inside your environment, that we're going to now come back to our customers and say, hey, we don't normally see you use Screen Connect this way. Are you now, kind of thing? And so that way we can be much more responsive and proactive. So basically using behavioral views of how somebody's using a software, even though it's legitimate.
Well, I think the other thing too, now from an MSSP portfolio, you know, we looked at this when the first announcement came out around November last year. And, you know, we looked for logs of all our customers that we're going to the domain destination of this, we think allegedly, but it has the same name in it, domain destination for this pharmacy. So again, it's like maybe it's behaving normally, but maybe it's going to different locations. So, you know, obviously, you know, what solutions besides just at your endpoint should you incorporate into this, you know, high paranoia state when you have to use these tools, but you know that there is a possibly a supply chain risk?
I think it really comes back to, so you've got this kind of, you know, this very tactical issue in addressing, hey, I have Screen Connect or we're using it and we need to take action. But on that larger stage, right, it really comes back in a lot of cases to, you know, vendor risk management. It's a key in terms of keeping your finger on the pulse of what third parties are doing to protect themselves, the organization and its data. And then do organizations really understand their risk and exposure and vulnerabilities that these vendors that process and do these things for their, or, you know, for them? Do they have a good feel for that? Do we have the appropriate processes and technologies that are reasonable, appropriate for today's modern threats like ransomware and phishing and things of those natures? And if so, right, then you got to tie it back into vendor risk management. You know, are you looking at your third parties to do the same thing? If you've got the right controls in place or what you feel that it, are your third parties doing a lot of those particular areas and drilling down into it with the with really kind of a keen focus on what would happen if this particular vendor, and we have this, right, with the Screen Connect thing, what would happen if they got breached? What is our impact if this critical vendor has an issue? How would we know about it? What data would be at risk? You know, and like any risk management exercise, what controls do we have in place that would minimize that risk area to something acceptable to us?
I think it's a great point. And if you look at the category of, and some could argue whether they're in this category or not, but the category that seems to be highly targeted are these solutions that help IT manage from a remote location or share files from a remote location. They are the underpinnings of any sort of digital footprint right now. And obviously the bad guys want to attack them and get access to them. So we're not talking something like SolarWinds where the packages were actually embedded malice into the updates of everything going out there.
Yep.
But
yep.
There are other things on the horizon right now that, you know, I'm like watching and looking at that are of concern because these tools that allow you to do this management, whether it's provided by your third party or whether you are using it, have this real big risk. So do you want to talk about one that you would start watching now before it gets to the federal and HHS warning levels?
Well, I think we've seen, you know, with the Avanti endpoint management issue that came out, you know, earlier this year, there's a lot of moving parts around that. And kind of going back to just thinking about this in general, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, the vulnerabilities that we're seeing for a lot of these things are not necessarily zero day. You know, for Screen Connect, we have been tracking that particular issue around for years as part of our vulnerability management program. It had been there, right? It had been something that we had been checking on and looking at. And so people going after these kinds of tools is not new. It's been around for, you know, for a while. And so when you go back and you start taking a look at that, when issues come out like this, like they did in November last year for the Screen Connect one, we let everybody know. We did a full street. We did all those kinds of activities looking for the IOCs and educating people about those particular things, but it's not stopping, right? It's not like this is not a one and done kind of thing. It just boiled up again because of a breach. But the same thing is going to happen with the Avanti endpoint management issue. Remote management, when you think about it, it's a wonderful tool for them, right? If they get access to that particular technology, it's such a risky one because of its capabilities that if they get to that, they really have keys to a lot of kind of paths for you. With the Avanti one, it was really focused on the ability to let an unauthenticated attacker, you know, take over and roll devices or the actual core server, right, that everything's kind of connected to. I mean, they fixed an issue, which is what the announcement was earlier this month, but the same kind of thing. Some of these issues have been out for a little bit longer. And so if we're ahead of those, we should be telling customers about that. But you really have got to step back and take a look at not just the software itself, but how is it getting used organizationally? Like I said, we've seen an example with Screen Connect. It was, they were using this as part of managing other devices that were in clients' organizations, and so, or their clients' organizations. Same kind of thing could be happening here. Maybe you have an MSP or another third party that's doing support of some technology that's running in your environment, and they're using one of these tools. And so now you've got to be very critical of vendors, right? What are they doing? Hey, does this Screen Connect issue apply to you? Does this Avanti issue apply to you as a, my vendor? And get them to validate, yes, this does apply to us. Okay, now that you know that, what are you doing about it? Tell me, give me a level of comfort that you're taking the right actions. But then at the same time, you need to make sure, which I alluded to earlier, is that internally, you are putting in the right controls to protect yourself, even if something happens to a critical third party.
Yeah. And I think the one thing here too, we kind of said vendor risk management. I used to answer all the security questionnaires for, as a, you know, as a vendor in the past. Sure. I think one of the key things is we need to highlight exactly how these vendors are connecting to your system. Not just that they will connect, but what are the tools they're using in the vendor risk. So when something like this comes up, like, oh yes, I know that this is using this kind of tool because, and I think this is a change that just we need to implement going forward because they're such high targets for the bad actors.
We've seen
it over and over again. And it's an easy change. It's just a matter of prioritizing, knowing this specific call out for a tool, putting an SLA, like if you change tools, please let us know so we can validate it. And that goes a long way to enabling and understanding what you might be exposed to, especially in the digital connection world.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a big data point. I think a lot of times in these implementations of a solution that a service provider is giving to you, you kind of get wrapped into just getting it up and running and implemented and not necessarily focusing on the how it's being done. And in these cases, sometimes I bet you if you went to a lot of these orgs and said, hey, did you realize that this pharmacy, you know, supply chain group was using this tool to do some of their things, they wouldn't have known that. they would have been ignorant to that's happening at all. And so now that, you know, it can bite you. So yeah, getting into the minutiae and the details and then having that part of your visibility and your understanding, especially when these kinds of issues come out, can be really important.
There, we can talk a lot longer, but if there's any really specific details that you would like for us to follow up with, feel free just to reach out to us. We wanted to share this information out there, give some insights. And Steve, thank you. I think you did a great job talking about if I was the vendor that was compromised, how to make changes. If you were a healthcare's operational person and you needed to watch out for it, how to make changes, and then all the other implications about using this kind of software across the whole ecosystem within healthcare. Thank you for joining today's Clear Perspective podcast. Feel free to contact us again. And we're here to help healthcare industry stay safe, stay compliant, and cyber resilient. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.